Hey everybody, on this episode of Box Office Breakdown, we're going to talk about how Finding Dory found its way around the rock to claim the title of Box Office Champion. Let's do this.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown here on Popcorn Talk. Once again, we are assembled a full panel here where we're going to break down the weekly box office and provide insight for future weekends to come. We're going to be your box office soothsayers.
Mm. Sure, I like that. Yeah.
Look at that.
Sounds good.
Yes, all right.
Very medieval.
Yes.
I'm your host, Frank Brand. You can follow me at Happy Go Jackie.
Hi there, my name is Quinn Skillion. You guys can find me on Twitter at Quinn Skillion.
Hey, how's it going? My name's Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
And it's DJ Richie Sky. You can find me online at DJ Richie Sky.
Look at that. Quite a week. I think, as we all talked about, we had no doubt that Finding Dory was going to take number one. We all agreed on that. And it was all just a question of how well central or critical intelligence.
Yes. I knew that was going to come back to me this week.
Well, I was going to say, I know I said central intelligence last week, but it's one of those I'm like, I know Finding Dory is going to be number one, but I'm like, let's just say it be...
contrary. Why
yes,
not?
Let's just say it to be contrary to the group.
No, Carrie. Finding Dory, shut it down.
But I was right with all my other ones of order. Besides O2, just if I switched Dory and Central Intelligence, I had everything else was the same order.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and so certainly Finding Dory, as we were talking about just before the show, we're kind of crunching the numbers there. When Finding Nemo came out in 2003, it did about $70 million in the box office. Mm-hmm. So this did almost double of what it did for Finding Dory, $136 million there.
Okay, were any of you guys expecting that much?
Well, you got to think like 13 years for this, and you imagine how many people have been watching it on a DVD, sharing it with their kids. They're all growing up watching this movie constantly. I mean, I'm sure it built like a huge fan base that were waiting for a sequel to come out.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because the first one, nobody knows what it is. They're kind of like, okay, cool, let's check this out. Sequel, they all love the first one. So it's like, of course you're going to go, and either it's the people who already originally saw it, and then they're taking their kids, or they're going back because it's their nostalgia, or it's all the new people that are like, oh my gosh, I saw Finding Nemo, and now there's another one.
Yeah.
I also feel like we kind of were in a little bit of like a kid movie drought, like a really, really quality one, you know? Like,
since Zootopia.
Yeah, since Zootopia. So I think everybody was just like, oh, finally we can take the kids to the theater, you know?
And it's kind of the beginning of summer. It's kids are out of school.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Everyone pretty much just got out. So no surprises.
And it's not like a little kid movie. It's a family movie. So the entire family can enjoy it.
I think people needed
a reason not like
to
Hotel
laugh.
Transylvania 2.
People needed a reason to laugh this weekend, too. So it was that could have been a little bit of a factor as well.
Did any of you open your pocketbooks to help contribute to this box office?
I did not. You know, I have this thing where sometimes I won't go see it the opening weekend because I know it's going to be flooded. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I have to kind of go when it dies down a little bit.
I did see a movie just today. None of the movies that are on the top five. But I'm going to plug this movie because it was crazy. It's called Tickled. And it's a documentary. Just go type in and watch the trailer, okay? That's all I'm asking you to do because this thing was absolutely nuts. It's probably going to be on HBO soon because it's an HBO documentary, but I don't want to like spoil anything, but I was freaking out. It was like Catfish level, going clear level crazy. So go see this documentary or whatever. I don't know.
She was obviously moved.
And it's not even a top five, but I'm just saying. I just wanted to plug it because it was that good.
I was interested in a lot of them, but I participated in Scavenger Hunt this weekend, so.
Way better.
We got second place.
Nice. Well, thanks for the invite, Carrie. That's cool. That's great.
I know. I'll invite you guys next time.
No, I actually did see it, and it was fun, although the ending gets a little bit, I mean, certainly we're talking about talking fish, but even the ending parts of it got a little strained credibility.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. But it's still an enjoyable movie, though. Mm-hmm.
Better than the first?
I
just want to know.
Yeah, I have to be honest, it's been so long since I've seen the first that I just remember like, oh, I like the first one. So, but this was good. I felt like that probably because of my problems with the ending of it, I probably would go Finding Nemo slightly above Finding Dory.
Did you love the first
one?
Because I mean, I'll go out on a limb that the first one I liked it, but I'm not with the crowd that's like, I love Finding Nemo. It's the best movie. I'm like, it's cool.
I had heard so much hype about it that I was expecting to be blown away, but I was just kind of like, oh yeah, this is a cute movie.
Definitely some people's favorite Pixar movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no,
like,
I know.
I think my brother is like a 27-year-old man. man, and he still weeps every time we watch it. So I don't know. There's some
nothing
kind of,
wrong with the sensitive.
Are you in
man?
The Finding in the Finding Nemo best one of the best Pixar's ever?
I mean, I love Finding Nemo. I don't know if it beats out like some of you know. I think maybe Monsters Inc. I've always been really really obsessed with. So there's like a couple that like you know Toy Story that still kind of. Ring with me. Do you guys think that Ellen DeGeneres had a big, you know, people just wanted to
I
go
see... I was
just
about to ask that.
Do you guys think that she is a big pull to the box office?
I think her interpretation of the character does.
Yeah.
I think
She
just has an energy that's just, A, kid-friendly, and B, funny.
Yes. Because in 2003, she was just starting to be Ellen, wasn't she? I mean, when did her talk show start? 2004?
Now it's well known enough that everybody, if you said Ellen, almost everybody would be like, oh yeah, sure.
Everybody knows Ellen. Show. That's what I'm saying. Like, she has such a passionate fan base. Yeah. I bet there are, like, you know, ladies without even kids who are just like, we gotta go support Ellen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Even from our sitcom days, like, I used to watch that sitcom. Like, loved it.
Here and Now is maybe one of my favorite stand ups I have ever seen.
Hilarious.
I have never laughed so hard at a stand up. It holds up. It's fantastic.
So I do think that she could be contributing to that.
Yeah,
you know
probably.
I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's interesting when you look at Pixar, that is such a brand. Unless they're if they're doing a sequel of another film. I mean, I feel like any of the posters or any of the artwork they're doing or any of the campaigns, it's very simple to get people to entice. You're just going to go just for
it's
the brand
alone.
It's a
new Pixar movie.
How do you guys think that they get it right and everybody... I mean, not that everybody else doesn't, but they get it right.
Because, like, DreamWorks, we get things like Shrek or we get things like... the bee story, a bee's tale or whatever that, you know, it's like, it's really hit and miss with DreamWorks. Mm-hmm. Whereas like Pixar just like consistently, even their little short films, just like
character, I'd say character,
John Lasseter.
Number one, and then story.
Yeah.
Because they're characters you care about their development. The characters actually have development. They go on a journey. You're able to go with them literally or figuratively. And then the stories are generally interesting, at least in some way, shape, or form, or they're easy enough to follow for, like, families.
No, and it's true, at least from what I've understood how the process is, certainly they do have the directors and the writers kind of steering the focus of it, but then they do have John Lasseter kind of overseeing it, a few other people there from Pixar.
Mm-hmm.
So very much, you know, you have a quality control right there.
Yes.
And it's, it seems to be an environment where ideas and collaboration are really encouraged, as opposed to, like, no, this is my idea, and I'm just sticking with it, and everybody back off.
And they take their time, too. We don't see, we see maybe a Pixar movie a year, pretty much, or...
Yeah, or it's almost like, I guess, I think they're almost to the point where they're doing 2 a year.
They're doing 2 a year.
Because last year they did Inside Out and then The Good Dinosaur.
See, that does seem like a really fast turnover. That's even more impressive then.
But do you think Good Dinosaur did not do as well as Inside Out, though?
Admittedly, it's probably one of my least favorite Pixar films.
I agree.
So there you go.
But Inside Out was insanely good. I mean, gosh.
So then they have a 50-50.
Yeah. But still, I mean, like, they're you know...
They have a development, like you were saying. They have a good... develop brand. They have a type of movie they make, and so it has a reputation that people are going to go see that kind of a film.
Now, as we're speaking about people who have brands, talking about a nice action movie coming in at number two, The Rock. If we're talking about action, The Rock right there, that is in his wheelhouse. Central Intelligence came in at number two, 34.5 million. And I know I went low with 28, so I went low on 28. Richie, did you have the winner for that?
Mm-hmm.
What did you guess?
I think it was like 31.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was close.
You were the highest one. Yeah. I remember I split the difference. I was like 28 or something.
Yeah, I think I was 28. I don't remember.
There you go.
Well, I mean, that's actually impressive because, you know, we didn't have anything, any of the other movies hit above 40.
Yeah.
So I think, like, we just had a lot of money funneling into Finding Dory this weekend.
Yeah.
No, I think we knew that, but I just didn't
know
how
much.
Well, there
you go. Majority of people went to Finding Dory, and then, like, the next chunk of people were Central Intelligence.
Yeah.
And then the people who hadn't seen the other ones are like, okay, we'll go to those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting because you think more traditionally, if you think about box office releases, the big action movies are usually the ones that the animated films are the things, the kid-friendly films are more the counter-programming for that.
Yes.
Oh, we need to have something for kids. And usually come in number two or three. And this, Pixar, is its own thing. So if you've got a Pixar film, you're... You find your film coming in number two, most likely.
Yeah. And all things considered, with a family movie, you're getting at least two people. Because you have a parent and a child, and then up to the family four unit, and plus. Mm-hmm. Action movie, it's maybe you and a friend, maybe a group. But family movies, you can...
Maybe a date.
You got your core, like the 2.5 kids and parents, and plus if they have lots of kids or something like that.
Speaking of that, isn't it weird if you think about the fact that a child's ticket is less money than an adult ticket?
But if you brought five kids, or
no,
if you're babysitting,
I'm just saying, I'm just talking about $136 million, and that's considering that a
on
big
a
chunk of those people
ticket. Yeah.
Discounted tickets. Yeah,
depends how many chaperones went.
That's a lot of money, baby. all how many parents going were straight to John Lasseter's pocket. Thank you, and I'll take the Oscar as well.
Now, as we're talking about like branding and stuff, you think of all the posters, and we talked a little bit about this last week. For everything for Central Intelligence, you just see The Rock, you know, just standing there massive, playing up against the size between The Rock and Kevin Hart being so small. Mm-hmm. And I feel like every Kevin Hart film, we're almost seeing him play like he's like the small kind of guy that's in over his head mm-hmm. and is always kind of like cowardly and afraid. You think of like Ride Along, Ride Along 2, things
you know,
like
he
that.
said 10 years ago, this is my look and I'm sticking to it. you got to appreciate the consistency on there.
He figured out his branding.
Yeah, he really
stuck
did.
With it.
I don't
and
know.
And it's still working.
It's still working, crazy. But I kind of feel like I want him to do something else. Like, I need to see what the next slate of movies for him is going to be. I can't keep seeing this same movie.
But the question is, if he does something new, are people going to be like, well, I like your other stuff. Like, you know, if an actor does something for so long and then they change it up and then people are like, well, I like you doing this. Yeah. Like, if he did a serious movie, you'd be like, but you always do comedy.
I know, but if you think about it, Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn did the same movie over and over and over again with the same dynamic. And people still, you know, rush to go see that stuff.
Yeah,
so.
But where are they now? Are they still, like, are we still seeing them do that movie this year?
No, that's true. But they had a pretty long
good run.
Hot streak. Yeah.
I don't know. The question is he trying to be an actor or is he trying to be just a comedian?
Mm. I don't know. I mean,
any opinion on that, Brink?
Yeah. If you think about somebody like Johnny Depp, I mean, people want to see him, at least box office wise, you want to see him more in films like, you know, the Pirates films, something that was playing a character. And if he tries to do some more like the arty kind of films, people are like, the box office isn't really there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, no, just be Captain Jack for us. That's all we want. That's all we want to see. Don't do anything else. Yeah. Just keep making Pirates films.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be doing, you know, Central Intelligence 3 in a couple of years. Who knows?
Coming in at number 3, we have The Conjuring 2, staying pretty strong there at the 15.5 million.
Third week?
Just down about 61.5%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, wait, second week.
Second week.
Since I'm on this whole kick, do you guys think that there will be a Conjuring 3?
I think
sure.
so.
Next year?
Now, the question is if it's going to theater, if it's going to go straight to DVD or, like, straight to Netflix.
Butterfly effect. Sure. They kept making butterfly effects, and nobody wanted any more of those, so I don't know.
Horror movies, if they got one that works, they will keep
exactly. That's what I was asking. Like, they will keep going with it.
If you scroll through any online movie provider, it's, like, horror movie number 4, 5, 6. Like, it just keeps going.
Paranormal Activity, number 18.
Is that why they made so many scary movies? Are they, like, lampooning the fact that there's many scary movies?
Yes.
Well, and you look at these, I mean, certainly the budget for these are pretty low. So so if you look at the budget to box office return, I mean, it makes sense to keep doing the films. And they're getting pretty
low. Especially stuff like the found footage, Paranormal Activity, that
and
kind of stuff.
Crazy that we are still on that. We are still addicted to that.
And
that's
also,
so
they
crazy.
And also, they don't have any star power because with movies like this, they don't want a recognizable face.
Exactly.
It's scarier if it looks like it could just be any random person off the street.
It could be you or me.
And so they're paying their actors probably nothing to do it. There's
mixed, though. Like, Insidious had a couple, their main actors were recognizable.
I'm talking more about the found footage.
Oh, the found footage ones. Yeah, those.
Mm-hmm. Now, because I mean, that's not to say that I don't enjoy them because I'm going to go see it. But I'm just saying that I just feel like we're going to see another one and another one
one. You know what I mean? It'll be a little while.
I feel like, it seems like it's being so well critically received that I feel like, you know.
It is. Yeah. That's the thing, too. Like, you know, even audiences are liking it, so.
Coming in at number 4, I know we had a little bit of a debate thinking what was going to hold strong, Warcraft or Now You See Me 2. Now You See Me 2 came in at number 4, yeah.
They're doing good. They're still holding that spot.
Yeah,
they're like, I'm still here.
That's right. You're still seeing me. Just a hair under $10 million, just down 56.9% in its second week.
That one could probably still be on there from word of mouth, people who saw it. And like, so was it good? Like, oh yeah, I want to see either the people who saw the first one or, word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Or you finally saw the billboard, saw the actor, go, oh, wait, they're in a new one.
Compared to Warcraft, which we thought, like, oh, there was debate. I mean, because certainly internationally, doing gangbusters over there.
Mm-hmm.
Domestically, though, that does seem like the word of mouth was not being as well received domestically because it was down 73% from last week. So it just made a little $6.5 million.
Mm.
It feels like it's definitely on a steep drop.
I think, it looks like it's doing better overseas, but in the States, there's still a lot of people who are enjoying it and going to see it.
Yeah, but I
want to see it.
I mean, certainly
they're
sitting
I feel like I need to see it.
I really can't stress how uninterested I am in this movie.
It's not the people rushing first weekend. There's going to be a lot of people
like
I want to see it, but they're going to see it maybe like third, fourth, or fifth.
Yeah, something. You know, we keep talking like about it. We really keep coming back to it. I feel as though I need to see this movie. Like, I'm compelled now. We talked about it so much.
We have to agree to disagree on that one, too.
I mean, certainly from what people said, they're setting it up to do a trilogy of films. Which is fine, but they kind of, you know, they just kind of tease you with a lot of possibilities. They're like, oh, we'll talk about this in film two or film three. And I think that's, you know, you can try that strategy, but you can't guarantee that you're going to get those films. Because you look at, like, the Terminator film, Terminator Genesis, was supposed to be the kickoff of a new trilogy. Didn't do that well, and so now they scrapped the other two
And they're
films.
Now just doing another series of Unfortunate Events movie, which, like, when that first came out, we thought we were going to see, like, I mean, there are so many series of Unfortunate Events books. I thought we were going to be seeing those for years after that, but, well, yeah, they're just now doing another one. I don't even know when that's coming out.
Lots of series ones. If they do the one, you get so excited. You're like, there's going to be another one! You know? And there's not.
Yeah, but I feel like so many studios now, especially when you look at Marvel, and it's more the age of the franchise. Where people are trying to set up, you know, multiple films in a series.
It makes sense. I mean, because it's a moneymaker. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be a moneymaker for the long haul.
Yeah.
You know?
But I feel like you've got to set that first film like as like just like its own standalone
movie.
That's
what I'm saying. It has to be good enough on its own, because I think it's, especially because we have so many of these kinds of movies coming out now, it's like, I think audiences are going to get tired of it. I think they are. It's just like, it's a lot of, it's similar material, it's too close, and they have to differentiate themselves in more than just that it's a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know about that.
I beg to differ with that one. Listen, I know that these movies are going to keep making money. I don't mean to only focus on the Marvel movies when I'm saying this. I'm saying that all we are just seeing so many sequels and trilogies at this point that I'm just nervous.
And remakes.
And remakes, yeah. I just kind of, like, I'm just nervous that, like, that it's going to start feeling like, I don't know, same old song and dance over and over and over again.
I think as long as they keep finding ways to differentiate the movies, like what they did with Guardians of the Galaxy, and even Ant-Man to a certain degree was a little bit of a departure, and Doctor Strange coming out, that'll be even more of a departure from the norm. So I think as long as they continue to evolve, we should be good.
We'll have to see how Suicide Squad does.
That one
I'm curious, because there's been so many people so excited so much in advance that either they're going to be it's like, you got to be careful. So many times people, their expectation is here, and then they see it and they're like,
yeah,
well,
I remember seeing this. I remember seeing the trailer for this movie and it being like, oh wait, it doesn't come out for like another year and a half. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy.
Yes.
Now, the one thing that would be interesting about Marvel is seeing what happens after the Infinity War 1 or 2 come. And that seems to be like the big goal line for at least these first few phases for Marvel.
Yeah.
What happens when they kind of reach that end, and where do they go after that? I think
that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
So now, as we talked a little bit about Warcraft and its international numbers here, as we talk about the international box office, Pixar, though, Finding Dory just was kicking butt all over the world. It cast the net in 29 territories with an estimated $50 million launch to take the number one spot at the international box office this weekend. And it was Finding Dory who happens to be the biggest Pixar opening in China with $17.5 million.
Woo!
Wow.
Yeah, those animated films are very, you know, can cross over internationally very well.
Yeah.
Very easily.
And as long as they have a story, like, it's a story, you know, finding your family, finding your community, it could relate.
The universal message, it really is.
Speaking about that, do you guys think that this is going to go down as, like, the, you know, like the Little Mermaid or Aladdin? Is that going to be this type of movie that people are going to be talking about and remembering and reminiscing 50 years from now?
That's so hard, because those are such big ones. Like, I'm like, I don't know.
Is this going to be that classic,
a certain age group, maybe.
Mm, interesting.
Because if you told anybody who grew up on the other ones, they'd be like, which I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, wondering. I mean, I'm sure the second Little Mermaid movie did well, but we don't really talk about it that much. You know what I mean?
Like, I watched it only because I like mermaids, but it was just okay.
Yeah, I know.
But they made a lot of Disney sequels that just went to video, like Lion King 2. Mm-hmm. And then they made Lion King
2.5.
It's like Lion King half, so it's in between the two.
Okay. So there you go. So I'm saying that, like, even though it did really, really well, I don't think the sequels tend to stick with us in terms of...
Well, it's like the...
But again, like, the first one came out so long ago that, like, this is the first Finding Nemo movie for some kids. You know?
I mean, and they didn't call it Finding Nemo 2. They called it Finding Dory. So it's technically its own entity.
Yes, good point.
But if you look at, say, Toy Story 2, who could forget that song about the...
Oh, when we were... The Jesse's song.
Yeah, Jesse's song about being abandoned. Like, that, no matter what, that just...
Oh my God, you just gave me goosebumps.
Yes. Or from Toy Story 3 when they're all heading towards the incinerator. Yeah. Holding hands? Oh, come on. Those are moments like...
Whew. Now, that one, though, the story continues. So, in a way, it's not really sequels. It's just more like more adventures.
Continuations.
So, there, I'd say Toy Story is in its own little bubble because it's, you know, it's not like, well, here we're back. It's, oh, we get more, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, we've made a sequel. It's not the same, you know, kind of vibe.
I don't know. It's just hard for us to say because we're just different. We're just different age group now, you know. Yeah. It'll be really interesting to see, like, you know.
We'll answer that question in 50 years.
We'll have to see how it does in syndication and, you know.
Well, you see in 2066 here in Box Office Breakdown. Yeah. Can't wait. Warcraft grabbed another $41 million in the international market. Again, as we're talking about, it's just, while it's not doing so strong domestically, internationally, it is just gangbusters over there.
Got to see what the hype is about.
Yeah. All right, Richie. You keep saying every week you're going to see it.
You know what? I'm going to go commit? See it.
By next week.
Okay. I'm going to, yeah.
There you go.
I'm going to fit it into the schedule some kind of way.
Some kind of way.
Okay. We'll see.
You go see it by yourself. Like early morning.
That's what I'm gonna have to do.
And just like, you know, and then go on with the rest of your day.
Yeah.
Make my notes and then get bring that them matinee back to you guys.
Right. Yeah, that's matinee.
Yeah.
Get a little bit, like, ooh, a little.
Some places their first show is always cheaper too.
See.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what do you think
the first showing is cheaper?
DJ at some Rich's theaters. Guy's gonna check
probably
it out.
Not the gross.
I am gonna check it out.
tweet us at your odds. What do you think? Yes or no, that Richie's guy's going to make it to war.
Well, now you have to see it because now that the stakes are high.
He's like,
ha. I know.
I'm going on the no camp. I think Richie's guy's going to be.
I think he's
going
to see it.
I'm going to see it now. I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to go see this movie.
Just to spite me.
Yep.
I know. I finally made it to the theater this week, but I didn't see any of these.
Man, what are you doing?
What's going on?
I'm sorry, you guys. It was so good.
Right.
I'm not even mad.
And running out our international market, we have Now You See Me 2 got another $60 million this weekend overseas to a total of $50 million in international market. Not bad.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Heist movies are always kind of fun, though.
I do like a good heist movie.
And you throw magic into it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on. Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Compelling enough that you see Now You See Me 3? Would you want to see a third one?
I think it's one of those some movies you need to quit while you're ahead. You know?
I say like, go for it. Like, go for just, it. Just give me that last one.
I find but myself, that need to be like, the last one. Always in the camp of stop making them. I think, like I just was talking about earlier, I think I'm just like so over the sequel. And now I'm like anti-sequel all of a sudden.
It depends. There's some movies that you're like, oh, you got happy. Okay, like animated. Speaking of animated, Rescuers Down Under, I would say is better than first Rescuers.
I would agree.
Animation is better. Cooler story.
And Fievel Goes West
was better than American Tail.
Yeah.
But again, the art, it's a little bit later. The actual visual quality of it has improved. So those ones are kind of better. So certain sequels, maybe Now You See Me 3. It's like,
I know. I don't want to make a blanket statement. There's plenty of
stuff
like,
I do
like.
Stop when it's great.
I just don't keep going.
If there's another story to tell,
it's going to be straight to DVD. There you go.
Well, if you compare that, I think maybe a good one to compare to is the Ocean's films. So
That's what I'm thinking about. That's why I said just go ahead and give me that third one. Finish it off.
Now, would you want the cast to be spiced up a little bit or keep the same people?
Just give me a little extra, like, something.
Shuffle some people?
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe, like, Matt Damon and Brad Pitt and George Clooney and...
crossover into
the
19
That's a very different
team.
Vibe for
I don't
that
know.
Movie, then.
Maybe, like, people like that. Like, Julia Roberts. Why not? Throw her in there.
Look at that. We start our own franchise films there with the heist movies. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Now, we've got a couple films coming out this week that we're going to talk to you about in a minute. One of those being a Matthew McConaughey film, The Free State of Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So as we're talking about Matthew McConaughey, our top five that we always like to do, kind of inspired by the week to come, we're going to be talking about top five Matthew McConaughey box office movies.
You know what, though? A couple of these, he's not necessarily the main character. He's part of ensemble.
I forgot he was even in Tropic Thunder, to be honest with you.
No,
I know. Tropic Thunder is like, wait, he's in that movie? And in Magic Mike, he's not one of the main guys. He's more on the edge of them.
Yes.
So, but I mean, he's still part of it, and he still is a draw, because he's a big enough name that people could want to go just to see him.
But how do you like him, McConaughey? Do you like him more as that kind of peripheral character that'll just come in for a few scenes and just
I'm the
nail
How to
it
Lose a Guy
out?
And Ten to Get Ten.
You want him yes.
to the rom-com.
Yes. Or
I was
Sahara.
About to say
remember
that
one?
I was about to say, I mean, I think I prefer older Matthew, like,
and
back
Made in Manhattan.
Day,
older Matthew. Like, your voice just dropped like three decimals.
These movies, Failure to Launch, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Did you ever see the meme? It wasn't a meme. This is before memes. When, like, it was like Matthew McConaughey can't stand up by himself because every single DVD cover was him leaning on, like, the female star. And they'd be, like, back to back.
Good point.
Yeah. That was
Failure. I just felt like we don't see rom-coms like we used to.
No. Not the same.
They're not the same anymore. I don't know what's going on these days.
Well, you know, I actually thought that Sleeping with Other People was
all right. That was kind of cute, though, too. Mm-hmm.
There's been a couple out there that it's just kind of like, it's, you know, like, I thought, actually, I didn't like How to Be Single. Who am I kidding?
See, there you go.
No, I feel like Matthew McConaughey was probably our last guy that was doing, the, like, the rom-com.
Yeah. I was going to say the 90s into early 2000s. Yeah, and like those had those.
Yeah, now he's.
They kind of.
You win an Oscar and that's it. I mean, that, you know, you can't go. You can't.
Well, is he getting too old to be? I'm not saying he is, but when they're in rom coms, there is kind of that certain age bracket. Like, there's the young lovers, and then there's kind of the mid.
And then you're at Alec Baldwin and Meryl Streep.
Then there's a different caliber. Which, those do pretty well, though, because by then, those actors have great audience appeal as well.
Oh, yeah.
But different kind.
Working for Nancy Meyer, you doing those kind of films?
Mm hmm.
Well, I like Matthew McConaughey. In, like, the Dodge Dart or whatever. All right, all right, all right. That's my favorite Matthew McConaughey.
So as we're talking about the top five Matthew McConaughey films, coming in at number one, we've got Interstellar, directed by Christopher Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
And a fun movie, but it felt like a lot of coincidence.
Wasn't this one of someone's favorite movies here?
No.
Someone told me the other day that was one of their favorite movies, and I was like,
maybe somebody tweeted you.
Suspect.
Like, and Quinn never spoke to them again.
Yeah, I was like, blocked.
So judgy.
No, not judgy. I just thought it was an interesting choice. I'm sorry. I thought it was one of us. I'm sorry. It was somebody else who doesn't matter.
Coming in at number two, we've got Magic Mike.
This is Magic Mike, not Magic Mike XXL.
No.
Okay. It's the first one.
He wasn't in XXL, unfortunately.
Oh, that was sad.
Did not make the cut.
No, it did not. Magic Mike, though, over $113 million. Did really well.
The first one was really good.
I liked them both.
No, I'm not saying the second one was bad. I actually didn't see the second one. But oh my gosh, wanted to. Really I just fun. Never got to it. But the first one, I was like, it's fun. I liked it. It's
better than Interstellar. Like, that was really good.
Different kind of movie.
It was so different.
Very different kind of movie.
Apples and oranges.
Yeah, I know. No correlation whatsoever.
Coming in at number three, we've got Tropic Thunder.
And I don't even remember him being in that movie.
Just a hair over $110 million. It was supposed to be a role that Owen Wilson was going to do. But then Matthew McConaughey stepped in and took over.
Was that when Owen Wilson was like in a state?
He was in some bad time there personally. So So Matthew McConaughey stepped in. I thought very fun, very brief role in there.
Yeah.
I felt like that was almost like his entryway into just coming in doing those small little character roles,
blinking,
and
just you
nailing
miss
it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was he?
He was Ben Stiller's agent.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I thought that was Tom Cruise.
No, well,
that's a different.
Yeah, he was. He was the studio executive.
Oh, okay. Yep. Cool.
We did that great little dance number at the end of the movie.
Yes.
coming in at number seven, we've got Failure to Launch, which surprised me that this is that high on the list.
Well, it's interesting.
$88 million.
I mean, right?
Why is that surprising?
But why is that higher than How to Lose a Guy? Because How to Lose a Guy
It's opening weekend we're looking at.
Oh, okay. Opening weekend. Because How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days did more in the long run. A lot more.
Yeah, very
which,
true.
That one I liked much
I
better.
I love
that
How to
one
Lose
was
a Guy
so
in
good.
10 Days. Oh, her pretty
cute,
yellow
but...
dress. Do you guys remember Kate's dress in that movie?
But Failure to Launch had Carrie Bradshaw.
I got to think
about it. Yeah, I was about to say that. Like,
it's a very different kind of movie. Kate Hudson versus
Carrie Bradshaw. Yeah. That's right.
Sarah Jessica
I'm like,
and also, you know what? Wasn't Sex and the City still on when Failure to Launch came out? Or, I mean, at least it was pretty close to just being off the air, like 2006? I think she was still fresh, you know?
She was still fresh
on everybody's mind.
Yeah, she was.
But
she
some
was.
Would argue they'd go with Kate Hudson being, like, cuter.
Maybe.
She's
Sarah Jessica Parker.
It's a different, they're very different kind
they're,
of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Totally. So it's one of those, like, which leading lady do you prefer?
Mm-hmm. Two different types of appeal.
Yes.
What are both of them doing right now?
Kate Hudson, isn't she singing now?
Something. Oh, that's a good question. No,
Sarah
she's not.
Jessica Parker.
She's got an HBO series that's coming out.
Doing fashion stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
Probably.
She's got a new series coming out on HBO.
Yeah. Yep.
I think it's called, might be called Divorce, maybe? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
No, I would like to see both of them back in theaters, though.
Oh, all right.
Especially Kate. Kate's doing Fabletics.
Warcraft.
She's got her own, like,
she has the yoga
she's got
and
the yoga.
Athletic wear.
Yeah.
I'm here for people having their own business ventures.
DJ Richie Scott, please tweet at either Sarah Jessica Parker or Kate Hudson to see Warcraft with you.
Let us know how that goes.
Well, if anybody's free, I mean.
That's like when guys tweet at celebrities to go to prom with them and then they go.
And see?
See? Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I'm totally tweeting that.
Come with me to Warcraft, Kate Hudson.
That would be like a way less commitment too, because she's probably like just like in Beverly Hills, like hanging out.
She's like, sure.
We could just be in the theater at the same
time. Let's beat the heat. Just go in this cold theater with me. Exactly. You know?
All right, and let's talk about coming in at number 5, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Look at that. That was our top 5 Matthew McConaughey films.
Was also 2003. Sorry to cut you off there. Like that same year as Finding Nemo. So also 13 years ago.
Kawinky dink.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, the longevity of Matthew McConaughey's career.
Yes. There you go.
Look at him now.
So, as we talked about, there a new Matthew McConaughey film in theaters, A Free State of Jones, but that is only one of 4 new films coming out in theaters this week.
Yeah, we have so much
this
coming
is,
out.
Yeah, there's a lot coming out this weekend. Like, this past one, we only got 2. So we got the family movie or the action movie. Now this one, we have a bit more variety.
Oh, yeah, we got a nice little historical action drama with The Free State of Jones.
Mm-hmm. I gotta tell you, it doesn't really feel like a summer movie to me.
No, it seems a little, yeah. Mm-hmm. It seems a little more, for me, this fall, seems like the movie, yeah, winter. like comes in like early September
September,
kind of action. Then, of course, I think like the biggest one this week is Independence Day Resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
Finally coming out from the 1996 film. Look at that.
I'm interested.
With Jeff Goldblum just back in there.
Just so we know, opening in 1996, Independence Day did $50.2 million. So
but it came out
in mind.
On Independence Day.
Yeah.
But it came out this one, on it's like, oh, come on.
What was the logic, I wonder, with not having it released like a little bit closer?
It's like, oh, you're so close.
A hair closer. Like, was it that they wanted people to actually be familiar with it, word of mouth, and then go see it that day? I mean, what was the logic? Does anybody know?
Like, 4th of July weekend. It's a 4-day weekend.
Yeah, that's what true. I was
like, that's a better time to go to a movie.
Maybe something else is coming
we'll
out.
Check for the following weeks, yeah.
Maybe.
Then we've got The Neon Demon, a horror thriller
with Elle Fanning.
Yeah.
This is the one I want to see of all of these, really. Mm-hmm. I'm actually really excited for this one.
Really?
Looks kind of up my alley.
Yeah, and that's competing against another horror film, The Shallows.
The Shallows.
With Blake Lively.
Yes.
Which looks like Jaws and...
They've been promoting the bejesus out of that.
Yes. I'm totally here for a Blake Lively film.
Because I honestly haven't seen a lot about Free State of Jones on social media. Really?
Shallows is Jaws meets Open Water.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Essentially, but in shallower water.
Because I feel like...
Because The Shallows, you've seen the trailer. It was like,
of course I've seen the trailer.
Okay, yeah. But I'm like, thinking about it, I'm like, that's Open Water and like Jaws pretty much together. Oh no, we're stuck and I have to get somewhere and there's a shark.
Mm-hmm.
I feel out of the
but
four
it still
these,
looks
though,
cool.
Yeah, the 4 of these I feel like Independence Day Resurgence and The Shallows I've seen a lot of advertising for.
Yeah. Oh, Independence Day and Shallows. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Neon Demon I've seen a lot for too. Way more than Free State of Jones.
I have not seen a lot for the Neon Demon.
Neon Demon, a lot on like social media.
On my Instagram. You know how Instagram has
Instagram
ads now?
A lot.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's like because I look at like makeup tutorials on Instagram. Maybe that's why. And it like knows. You know how they know?
I was going to say ditto. I have a lot of makeup ones too. And I'm
quite sure they have targeted you.
Dude, do you guys ever see the videos where it's like people doing manicures?
No.
No.
Man, I can watch those for hours. It's just weirdly mesmerizing. I can't explain it.
So now, do you feel like for something like this, more effective advertising for doing a more targeted kind of hit as opposed to just putting billboards up everywhere, doing bus stops, things like that? You're going to go right on social media, target specific people watching something specific.
Yeah, because you keep seeing it in your Instagram feed, so you're familiar with the name. Maybe you finally go, okay, fine, I'll watch that trailer because you keep seeing it in your feed and you click it and you go, okay, yeah, sure, that looks interesting. So yeah, that one definitely there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Any girl or boy that's on Instagram doing makeup things, that probably showed up in there as you're scrolling
through. Yeah, because it's about like a model,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And what are the odds? You've seen the trailer. What are the odds that you would go see this soon?
I don't know if I'd necessarily go opening weekend, but I saw when I watched the trailer, I was like, okay, that actually looks kind of interesting. Yeah, I don't know.
No,
it might be one of those eventually.
That's how I feel about The Shallows. Shallows all rent when it comes on to iTunes.
I try not. I'm sometimes not really an opening weekend kind of person.
See?
I don't like because I don't want to go when it's super packed either. Though certain movies I do like it.
Sometimes if it's an event movie, I'll do it.
Like Zootopia, I did see with a big audience and it was a lot of kids, which was okay.
You know what's the craziest thing about seeing a movie in LA is everyone claps at the end.
No.
Opening weekend. Yes, they do.
Oh, opening weekend.
You go
maybe.
Opening weekend to a movie in LA, the entire theater stands up like they can't hear you.
But no. Sidebar, I feel like people don't really go to the movie. Like, remember when Scream came out? Like, I felt like the theaters were just packed that night. Like, that whole weekend, everybody was going to see them.
Harry Potter movies.
Yeah, like, I felt like those were, like, event movies.
What about you guys? Are you guys an opening weekend kind of person or depends on the movie?
No, I guess if it's a movie I really want to see, I'll make time to go see it on the opening weekend. And then if it just life gets in the way, then I'll try to see it at least within like the week or two of it coming out.
Because the problem with social media now, it's like everybody spoils it. Like Game of Thrones, my gosh, that one is, nobody cares this season. They're just posting everything all over the internet. So certain movies now, it's like you almost have to go. So otherwise it's going to be spoiled. And you're like, great, thanks. Now I know everything.
Yeah, for me, like spoilers aren't so bad, but I also like do read like the follow-ups and the thoughts about it. So it's nice for me to go read, like see like Captain America: Civil War. I want to see that opening weekend because I want to just read what everybody else is saying about it.
Yeah.
All right, let's do some predictions, folks. We talked about these four films coming out in theaters there. So as we're talking about a few notes, McConaughey's last premiere was Interstellar, as we talked about there for his top five, back in 2014, which opened to $47 million. And as Quinn was talking about, Independence Day opened up in 96 to $50 million for its opening weekend, followed by $35 million and then $21 million in its next weekend. So given that, again, we've got Free State of Jones, Independence Day Resurgence, The Neon Demon, The Shallows, and then, of course, we've got everything from this week, Finding Dory, Central Intelligence, Conjuring 2, Now You See Me 2, and Warcraft.
All those movies we've been having so much fun talking about.
This is so difficult this week.
I'm struggling.
Well, I know I'm not struggling with my number one.
Yeah, number one.
Obviously, we know what
you guys all want to say it at the same time?
Finding Dory.
I like we had a few different tones of voice in there.
Finding Dory.
All right, so Kelly, we can all go away. We can all just rule out Finding Dory as our number one.
Okay.
Yes.
So now we just got two through five.
It's still hard.
Number two, I'm going to go with Independence Day.
I think a solid one. All right.
Number three, Free State of Jones.
Really?
We'll try. Okay. That one's one of those, like, I'm not really sure, but we'll put it out there. Four. The question is, are these new ones going to bump out
Central Intelligence?
Ones?
Yeah, that's my...
Let's throw a curveball out there, too. We'll put Shallows, and then... Neon Demon's going to be interesting, because, I mean, she has name power and star power enough, but it is
a wide release.
Peculiar movie. All right, then let's... Neon, sure.
Wow. Interesting list, Karen.
Why not? Right. I like it to be... It'll keep it interesting. So yeah, I'll go number one, Dory, two, Independence Day, three, Free State of Jones, Shallows, and then Neon Demon.
Now, if you look at Quinn's list, it is like the ramblings of a mad woman there. She is scratched and turned around and circled and recircled and scratched and drawn arrows all over this. What have you settled on?
Okay, I got number one, Finding Dory. Mm-hmm. Duh.
Yes.
Number two, Independence Day.
Yep.
Number three, I'm going to go Free State of Jones. Just because it's like an interesting alternative for all the other movies that are out right now.
Yep.
Number four, I have Central Intelligence. And number five, The Shallows. I don't know, man.
Wow.
I don't know.
I know. This one.
But also, The Neon Demon could knock Central Intelligence out, or The Shallows won't be in there at all. Oh, man.
DJ Richie Scott?
I'm going to go with, of course, Finding Dory. Mm-hmm. Number one. Mm-hmm. Number two.
Oh, you're doing Finding Dory? You're just playing devil's advocate.
So number one will be Finding Dory. I'm gonna do number two as actually I'm gonna keep some of this list the same.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna keep Central Intelligence.
Okay.
The Conjuring.
In these orders, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then no.
Wait.
Okay, Finding Dory. And then Independence Day.
So we have Finding Dory and Independence Day. All is our first two.
Central Intelligence, The Conjuring, and then I'm gonna go with The Neon Demon.
Even though The Conjuring only did 15 this weekend.
All right.
Listen, I think it's still going.
He's like, I want to do curveballs too.
Okay.
Interesting. All right.
And all right. Frank,
I'll go with the course Finding Dory, Independence Day. I think I'm gonna go Central Intelligence.
Okay.
The Shallows, Conjuring 2. All right. Free State of Jones, I feel, is just like, it's, no. Yeah. It's not, yeah. That, I think it's wrong time of year.
I don't think he has the same box office draw that he used to.
Yeah, maybe.
And that's not me being negative. I just don't think he does.
Because it is the right time of year for The Shallows. Like, people are going to want to go see that as their summer kind of like drama, kind of horror movie. Yeah, so I think maybe that'll take number three.
I'm curious for Free State of Jones, because that one, their billboards, it's like, wait, where are they? What advertisements? Yeah. So... not a huge marketing.
I think it's too early in the summer for this. If you wanted to do it, more in the fall or even just later in the summer. Yeah. Too early in the summer, I think you want to see action and adventure.
Especially the same weekend as Independence Day. Like, I feel like that's a lot of crossover audience too. So, sure.
All right, everybody. Now we're going to do our special, we're going to do our Price is Right, where we predict one of these five, how they're going to do next week. Now, we all agree that Finding Dory is going to find its way on the list again. Now, it did $136 million this week. Let's predict what it's going to do its second week. What kind of drop-off will we expect? We still think it's going to be number one, but how well is it going to do? Because I feel like we can go a high number. We've always been kind of playing it safe in the low 30s, things like that for these films. Now we get a chance to kind of shoot a little high in our box office predictions.
Because if you take 136 and a half, that's still pretty high.
Yes. But do you think it's going to go half? Do you think it might only like 40% perhaps drop off?
Maybe only 40% drop off.
So what do you think? Carrie, you came out of the...
Fine. 80.
80. All right.
Go with 80.
Okay.
77.
So, 77. All right.
I was going to say 80 and then Carrie said 80. So now I have to think of anything to say.
Well, 81 or 79.
I'm going to say 81.
81?
Ooh, I'd like to think that Independence Day. I'm gonna go shoot high, and I'm going to say 85.
All right.
Look at you.
Yeah, I'm going to go high, but I'm going to keep that
hope alive. I love how much of a risk taker you are.
I went 85, guys. I really went out on a limb. Now, folks, we've been talking about our box office predictions, but you're probably listening or watching saying, man, you know, I got a better handle on the box office than these guys do. I can guess this number. So tweet us your predictions of what you think the box office title for the box office for Finding Dory will be next week. Whoever gets closest to that, we'll give you guys a shout-out on the show. And, maybe we'll have you guys call in, or you can brag about how smart you guys are over us.
Do YouTube comments count, too?
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. But yeah, okay, we'll do a YouTube comment
down
well.
Below.
Comment right there on there. Yep. And then you can also see if you want to get together with Richie's guy and check out Warcraft 2 as well.
Come with me.
You're going to be in an empty theater, my friend, no matter what.
Burn.
It's because you have no friends, not because people don't like the movie.
As soon as I find Sarah Jessica Parker or Kate Hudson, we're going.
So, folks, next
tell
week...
Tell me where they are. I miss them.
Next
Say
week,
hi.
We'll find out who's been which fan is closest to the box office. Maybe beat us on this. We'll get some phone calls in. We'll get you a chance to brag about everything, about your smarts. So make sure we'll put the phone number on next week. Get ready to call in, folks. Share your thoughts about the show, about the box office, about DJ Richie's guy, and he's not seeing Warcraft. Talk about all that stuff with us next week.
Totally.
But in the meantime, though, if you want to continue the conversation with us, even after the show's ended, you can like us on Facebook. You can give us those 5 stars on iTunes. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hop in on the chat right there. Comment on the YouTube page as well. DJ Richie Sky, if they want to ask you to join them for Warcraft or just talk to you about movies, where can they find you?
You can find me seeing Warcraft. You can also follow me at DJ Richie Sky on Instagram and Twitter, and Richie Sky on Snapchat.
Yes, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Carrie D. Lane, KariDlane.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Quinskillian. You can find me on Instagram at Quinstagram, and you can add me on Snapchat at Quapchat.
And you can follow
Sounds
me at...
slightly sexual, I know. I don't know.
There you go. Is that from that Tickle movie?
No? Yep, from the Tickle movie.
Got it. And you can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie. Tweet us your box office predictions, folks. Mm-hmm. We want to see how smart you folks are. And we'll see you next week on Box Office Breakdown.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.